When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you, Bob. Hold on. For those of you that are from outside the state of Virginia, if you can't tell, Bob is originally from New York City, okay? So when he says, I'm a city guy, he's not joking. He's got boots on, and he's being transformed day by day. But, you know, it's good. Thank you, man. Love you, brother. Give him a hug. Oh, it just, my mind is flooded with memories. Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. As Bob read Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading. I just want to remind you of a couple things where it says our Father. It's just so important. I don't think that we can say this enough. The words of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 3, when it says our Father, as we're supposed to be praying and as Jesus is talking about prayer here, he uses the word our Father. And in John 17, 3, as he's praying, he said, and this is eternal life. Now, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what your tradition is. Maybe you have none. But I want to remind you that what we believe is what Jesus said, that eternal life is not asking Jesus to jump into your heart and you just getting this rescue card. Jesus said that eternal life is that they may know you, the only true God, the Father, that we would know the true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Eternal life is a relationship. I want to say it again. Eternal life is all about relationship. It's not about religious duty. It's not about this list of things. Eternal life is relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, and then his Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. It's a relationship of grace through faith. Now, what I want to just spend the morning on, his kingdom come and his will be done as it is done on earth as it is in heaven. I have a couple questions for you this morning. Have you ever prayed like this? Have you ever prayed? I'm not just talking about quoting, rote, being able to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not talking about being able to blurt that out. I'm talking about in your private, as Jesus is talking about, in that private secret place, in that place where it's just you and God and you and God alone, do you pray like this? Have you prayed this prayer from your heart in that place between you and God the Father? If you have, how often have you prayed like this? How long have you been praying like this? Now for me, I just want to say, there's a lot of things in my life that I can go back to a particular time, event, situation. I can't really tell you when I started praying like this and saying, Father, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done right now, today, the same way that it'd be done in heaven. But I can just promise you right now, it has been a lot of years. It's been a long time that I have been praying that prayer regularly. And as I say those words, my heart and my mind and the words of my mouth, they all amalgamate together and it becomes an expression of what I am pursuing and who I want to be. Now, real quick, I want to give you several things this morning I just want to point out, and we could give a bunch of different things about this, but I want to give you some quick highlights about us being able to pray as Jesus gave us an example. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done right now on earth, and may it happen soon, but right now, today, in this very place, the way it'd be done in heaven. And Jenny and Bob have already laid the smack down that we are here and you are here for a reason. God is at work in our lives and God is at work in this place. Number one, when we pray this way, what it does is it helps us realize that there's a bigger picture prayer perspective. Please understand when I say this, you begin to realize that the entire world does not revolve around you, but rather around God. It's not always. Thank you, Todd. That almost threw me off. That was beautiful. It's not always about you and your desires, but rather about God and what He wants. And please understand that this first point goes directly against our current culture. It goes against current teaching. It goes against current education. It goes against trends. It goes against what's liked and what's popular. But it, when we pray this way, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. What it does, maybe not right away, but over a period of time, it begins to open our hearts and minds, and we begin to realize that there's a bigger picture prayer perspective here, that the world is not all about me, 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 me. Number two, there's humility in seeking. When I pray, when I say, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I want what you want. There's a humility that I experience in this seeking process. You begin to realize that there is a ton about this God, His Son, and His Spirit that we need to learn. We don't need to educate Him about how we view the world. On the contrary, we need to learn from Him about how to view Him, ourselves, and the people around us. Do you get what I'm saying? And please understand, the part of what's happening within the progressive Christianity movement and what's happening across our nation when it comes to a lot of quote-unquote Christian movements is we're taking this whole idea of my truth and we're trying to apply my truth or trying to tell how God and the scripture, that's why the scripture's being pulled apart. And there's even some of you right now in here that are struggling because you don't have confidence in the scripture because maybe you've heard a skeptic, maybe you've heard somebody say something, maybe there's been things take place, but we got to pick apart the scripture so that now that we can get God and our belief in God to fit our mold, our idea, our world. When the whole idea of the cross and Jesus coming is to give us the opportunity to fit into His world and learn His ways. He gets how we are. We don't need to educate Him on us. He gets us. That's why He sent His Son Jesus, because He gets how jacked up we are. So He sent Jesus to be the propitiation, to be the satisfaction, to be the covering so that we could have hope. Number three, heaven and earth are connected places. Let me say this again. Heaven and earth are very connected places. Whether you realize it or not, as you pray this way, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you begin to realize that there are supernatural, spiritual, eternal forces at work on this planet as well as the heavens. Part of this new heavenly citizenship that is available to us through the sacrifice of Jesus' life blood opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. We can get a glimpse of heaven through the kingdom principles and living right here and right now the way that God wants us to. That's what is so difficult about the truth of what Jesus has been proclaiming in the first part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. So as we begin to pray and as I begin to struggle, and I've been really honest with you about some of the difficult parts in my own spirit, the way that God has naturally wired me, some of the things in Matthew chapter 5 just don't naturally sit easily within me. So I have to go to God and I have to say, God, you need to help me and you need to work out your kingdom inside of me because I'm not digging what you're asking me to do because it's not congruent. It doesn't fit what my natural package is. Help me. Please help me to understand your kingdom values. Help me to understand this. Am I making sense? That there is this heaven and earth are connected places. That's why we prayed over the people that have been baptized recently and all that's going on. Because you begin to realize, hey, I'm going down into the water and I'm making this proclamation. And yes, it's something beautiful and purifying. And it's a great, an incredible step of faith for these people. But then they begin to realize, boom, 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 and you realize, oh, wow, there's some spiritual forces breaking bad. And maybe the problem is you don't realize that that's exactly what's going on, but that's exactly what's going on because there's spiritual forces at work to discourage and beat you up. Some of you, you're not alone. The stupid, dumb decisions you've made this week, listen, be encouraged. You're part of a church family where we're all struggling with the same thing. And listen, it's part of being a human being. The amazing Apostle Paul said the same thing in Romans. The things that I don't want to do, what do you wind up doing? Doing those things. The things he wanted to do, what do you wind up doing? Not doing any of those things. It's part of our human struggle. Number four, real quick. It's a process over time. It's not instantaneous. You begin to learn that the renewing of our minds takes a lifetime. Please hear me say this. If you're used to a religion or a Christianity that you can neatly package in a bundle and it's part of a program, it's part of a book where everything fits concisely into this book from an author, and you can work it out, and you can get your hands around it in a year or a year and a half. That's not the kind of Christian walk that we're talking about. Some of you, I want to encourage you, and the reason we need to stand together and we need to fight for one another is some of these kids that they have great faith, and as they begin to grow up, they're in 3rd, 4th, 7th, they're in 12th grade. As they grow up, we need to stand alongside of them as they make mistakes, as they grow, as they work through these things, because we need to help them understand that they're supposed to be followers of Christ for the long haul. Not just to make the youth group look good. That's not what Chris and Marissa and all the youth leaders are trying to do. They're trying to lay a foundation so that these kids, when they go to college or when they go off, when they're in their 30s, they can look back and realize, man, I got some incredible biblical foundation that has sustained me through all these life storms. And most of all, you know where that foundation really came from? Mom and Dad. He knows what is most important in the process of growth and development as we seek him and we submit to his teaching. Notice the seek and submit portion. I'm just pointing out these two concepts because they're still huge in the Bible. These are just a few of multiple things that contribute to the process of us being transformed by the renewing of our minds to learn how to walk in our heavenly citizenship. I want to remind you of Ephesians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 1, Romans chapter 12, and then we have a new scripture I want to read to you in just a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, please hear and read along the New King James. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will. Now, I want to say it to you this way. If you see, we've got the Timmy's Combined Version Application Contemporary Non-Text Study wording now. Okay? If you look at what the initials are for that, it's TCVACNTSW, for those of you that are detail people, okay? That's the new one that we're going to be reading from right now. I'm going to say it to you like this. I'm begging you, dear brothers and sisters, I'm begging you to realize just how important you are to God. Jenny said it, Bob said it, the songs, the worship team has said it all morning. Just how important you are to God. He has extended his mercy and grace to us because of the sacrifice of his son. If you give your entire self to him, he will accept you because of the great price that has been paid for your value. It only makes common sense to present yourself to him as a gift, offering, or sacrifice. Don't think in the terms of this natural, messed up world, but rather begin to be transformed in your thinking by learning about this new kingdom. It may be upside down for a bit because it really is different than current culture. But in the process of time, you will begin to see that it fits you and is more excellent than you ever imagined. God the Father's will and desire or kingdom is absolutely perfect for you, regardless of what mistakes you have made in the past. Bob, that's what you said. Jenny, that's what you proclaimed. All of us, we need to live in that understanding. So I want to remind you of a couple things, just a couple points. Regarding point one, in our current culture, let's be very careful to get the big, let's not get the big picture perspective backwards. We learn from the life where we live first and foremost because it's the only life that I can change. I want to say this. The only person, the only attitude, the only person that I can really affect change on. Who do you think I'm pointing at? Me. Me. So I want to mention this to you that what we've got to be really careful of, and please hear me because I think this is an important point. I don't want to miss this. When we pray his kingdom come, his will be done, what we have to really be careful of, and please listen, because there's a couple of you in here that if you don't get anything, you need this portion of the lesson this morning from God himself through my mouth. Please hear me when I say this. Because of our current world, the internet, because of all the things, I believe that we, if we're not careful, we do just the opposite. We get our minds and our experiences full of things around the globe and experiences and things that are taking place. And I'm not saying to not have a heart for those things, but we get it backwards because we have this huge perspective where we get anxious, we get angry, we get frustrated, we get overwhelmed, and there's this wrenching inside of our souls that becomes fear-driven and it rips our faith away. And so what we wind up doing is spending our days spinning, worrying, and anxious about things we have absolutely no control over. So I just want to mention this. This is just my reality. Over the last multiple months, I have not gotten a call from our president, nor the vice president, nor Ms. Pelosi to say, hey, Tim, what do you think about what we're doing up here? Shocker, right? You know why I mentioned that? I'm asked to pray for them. I'm asked to intercede for them, which I do. I pray for the leaders in our state. I pray for the leaders in our county. But can I just tell you something? If I'm not careful with all the stuff that I'm bombarded with, I can get this so backwards. And if we're not careful, we're so wrenched up about stuff that nobody's asking us about that we really don't have a lot of control over. And then when we walk into the grocery store and we walk around people or we're next to people or even people in our family, we've got this thing so backwards that the actual relationships that are right in front of us that we could be a blessing to and we could change, we overlook those because we're so anxious and fraught about all the stuff around the world. Let me just say this, just so you understand, the outreach ministries and the missionaries that we support in this church family, you know why we support them? Because we had friendships and relationships with them. Herbert and Deborah Bayundo, it's because we met them, we got to know them, there was a relationship with them. Christina Owens in the Middle East, it's because we have a relationship with them. People all over the planet, it's because we love and we have relationships and we just support their pursuits. Does that make sense? All right, next point, number four, and we're going to wrap things up. In our current culture, many of us are addicted to the immediate, the quicker, the breakneck speeds. Remember how I said that it's not instantaneous? We have a generation that's only known the internet. All right, so how many of you, raise your hand, if all you've ever known is the internet and the World Wide Web? Raise your hand. Go ahead, you guys, we got your back. There you go, Sam's back there. Yep, that's me. Think about that. All they've ever known is something that many of us, we remember the days. If I were to make that sound like AOL, some of you are like, oh yeah, I remember those days, okay? Some of you like us, you got DSL, you feel like you're back there. But microwave this morning, some of you have been scared and wondering, no, we're not planning on blowing anything up, okay? All right, some of you are disappointed. I know it was going to be, that was the best service ever. All right, this microwave represents the immediate, the fast, or the instant mindset. It is a spoken or unspoken expectation that we all have to confront that says, I want it now. I want everything now. Think about it. Learn fast, eat fast, create fast, cook fast, work fast, get rich fast, produce fast, lose weight fast, dance fast, get fit fast, get groceries fast, drive fast, get there fast, exercise fast, find love fast, get happy fast, travel fast, sleep fast, play fast, heal fast, relax fast, vacation fast, find it fast, Google it fast, and on and on and on. Just live fast. Whew, I need a nap. I'm exhausted. Oh, I forgot. Nap fast. Okay? Many of us revere this on-the-go lifestyle. I get it. I'm a guy with a high motor. I know that some of you, I mean, I understand. There's not enough hours in a day for me to do everything I want to do. Okay? But there's also, I want to be honest, this has greatly damaged Tim Duggins and sometimes my family in many ways, but that's another confession time for later, not this morning. This lifestyle influence of instant gratification is extended to most things in our lives, including our spiritual lives. So, remember this illustration I've been using over the last several weeks? The prayer purifies. Now, what I did differently this week is if you look at this water, last week I didn't add anything. And remember I said that it would be great if we could have a week where we didn't get junked at. I'll just use it that way. Well, this week represents what most of our lives struggle with because this got junked at this week. And so if you look at the water's not super pure. And so the process of purification, it just takes time. And this represents our prayer life. As we spend time with God, It's a supernatural process of God helps us with our junk. And the Word of God purifies. But also just want to mention to you that prayer purifies on a whole different level. Because it's about intimate, honest, wide open, being truthful. Okay? So, we've got the microwave over here.
There's got to be another way.
What are you talking about?
There's got to be something quicker.
Dude.
That's what this is about, right?
Whatever.
Dude, faster.
Okay.
30 seconds, pure.
Okay, let's see. Wait a minute. Okay, Chris, you stand next to that. All right, let's see. Let's see if it's quicker. Wow, that's a lot cleaner.
Should do it again?
Dude, it's your call.
I mean, Robin knew it.
So please hear me this morning, and thank you for being patient and hanging with us this morning. But as we are trying to show you, if we're not careful, and if we are not careful with listening to religious teachers and religious leaders that sell us on this quick fix, easy, there's a microwavable approach to your walk with God, to you have full blessings and power. And yes, the Holy Spirit is powerful and transformative. But can I just tell you something? Let's see how that's doing. Is it cleaner?
5 seconds.
Okay, 5 seconds. Don't like waiting 5 seconds. How about you? All right, let's see. Ooh, it's warm. It's warm, but it's dirty. Warm, but dirty. Please look at me. Hear us this morning. Do not be discouraged because God does not meet your timeline for purification. God cares, but it takes time. Relationships take time. This process takes time. Pastor Chris, can you bring that over here? It's an investment. There's no quick fix. We are asking you, our team, this church family, we are asking you to walk with us and let's learn how to pray. Let's learn how to make time for God. Let's be purified, not because it's something we're trying to do, because think of it like this. We're praying, our pure Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. You purify us with your presence, and you be the kind of Father, and your presence will purify us today, right now, the way that you are and they are pure in heaven. Have you been praying, Father? I want what you want. I want your upside down kingdom. Help me to learn that and help me to live that out today. Can you imagine, as has already been said to you, we're supposed to be little representation, taste, little citizens of another citizenship. It's a heavenly citizenship. And the mistakes and the way that we own our mistakes, the way that we're transparent about our faults, just as Bob and Jenny, as everybody has already talked about, that's how we show other people. It's not because we're better. It's because we have a hope that we can only get through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask as a group that your kingdom would come and your desires would be done in us today, right now, in the same way that it happens in heaven. And if you need to talk to somebody before you leave here today, If you need to make that decision to truly trust Christ with your life and ask for forgiveness and talk to one of us, whatever you need to do to respond to God's Spirit working in your life, please do that. And let's proclaim His greatness as we stand and sing about Him this morning.